Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode brought to you by Yahoo Sports Canada. My name is Iman, and I'm joined by Asad. Asad, how are you?
Not as good as Fred VanVleet tonight, that's for sure.
Moneybags. Bet on yourself. Oh my gosh. I'm like still processing the news. Now we're coming at you guys right after the news of Fred VanVleet joining the Houston Rockets for $43 million per year. It is a three-year contract, and they did it. They not only maxed him out, but they gave him that third year. What are your thoughts on what Houston just did?
I don't know what Houston's up to, but clearly they were very sick of the culture they had built there the last few years. Because paying Fred VanVleet that kind of money is, hey, good for him. Great for him. Love that he got that money, but that is wild, wild amount to spend on that level of player. Like, hey, you got to pay Fred a high amount to get him to leave a place that he's kind of known or been a regular at and has like a set position, and B, deal with, you know, what's going to be continued losing and dealing with a lot of young millionaires who need to learn how to play basketball. So, you know, that sucks for Toronto, I think, long run. It's not great to lose talent, especially for nothing. There is still, because it was a three-year deal, I think there is still a chance that maybe the Raptors could get Houston to play ball and make it a sign trade so they get an exception for $22 million. So at least that way they have some way to use use Fred's money in a trade in the future. But otherwise, Fred leaving means the Raptors don't really have cap space, but they do get the full MLE, which we found out that they have used or at least agreed to. But in the short term, it sucks. Fred VanVleet, big part of the Raptors championship run. It's been a big part in making his career here. And it's definitely as many options as the Raptors have to improve their team, whether it's players growing, getting better, a new system. Any version of the Raptors this year is probably worse off without Fred VanVleet than it would be with it.
I would take away the word probably. And I want to make sure to give Fred VanVleet his roses here. You mentioned it. He was a huge part of the Raptors championship run. He's also, there's been so much talk about a two timeline. You know, the Warriors failed to make it happen. The Blazers might be trying to make it happen right now. And Fred VanVleet, to me, along with Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby, is proof that it can work. He is proof that it can work. We saw it here. He is the heir apparent to Kyle Lowry. We watched him develop and in that third season really break out, especially in that playoff run, and help get this team a championship. He took over for this team, and he's an undrafted guy doing this. His story arc, what he means to Toronto outside of just this one year. I know people have been very frustrated with his play last season, but what he means to the Raptors, if we could take a step back and look at where this team has always been in terms of developing guys and keeping guys and all that, all the noise that you hear, he is sort of proof that the Raptors have had stability. He's the fruit of that. He is proof that the Raptors have had a winning culture. He's the fruit of that as well. And, you know, we always talk about, oh, if the Raptors want to get someone in free agency, they're just going to have to throw a ton of money at a guy who doesn't deserve it. And yeah, that's kind of what the Raptors have done in the past to get guys over here. And now your players are watching that. You're watching that happen to your players because of the winning culture and the system that's been built here. So I think if we just take a step back and look at this, it's a major win for Fred VanVleet. This is an undrafted guy making max money. Now, would I personally pay him max money? No. I think Houston is interesting for that. But he's still doing it, right? Like, you are worth whatever the market dictates you're worth in this league. And he's getting paid max money, and it's because of everything else that he brings. It's because of the intangibles. It's because of the steady Freddy. It's his essence. It's his era. It's his aura, I should say. It's how he can come into a locker room and Ime Udoka and the Houston Rockets believe that he can help change that. Raphael Stone is betting on the fact that Fred VanVleet can come in and help change their culture. So that's a major win for them, but it's a huge loss for the Raptors by the same token. He means so much to what this team is, and I want to get you to sort of explain what the loss of Fred VanVleet means for this team on the court, outside of all the stuff that he does off the court.
Well, just based on the Raptors' offense, like, he was, you know, their best pick and roll ball handler on the team, and probably one of the most the easiest ways for the Raptors to get a paint touch was a Fred VanVleet drive. Fred VanVleet drove them, led, like, I think he was in the top percentile of the league in drives this season.
He was, yeah.
And, you know, getting into the paint, getting the ball out, like, that just creates movement on offense. And regardless of what you want to think of the Raptors' stagnant offense last season because of the way their personnel was and the system they were running, having a system that encouraged more cutting, more movement, even more DHO action, it would have been helpful, would have been really useful to have a Fred VanVleet type player. Anybody can go back and look at Memphis' footage with a Desmond Bane or a Tyus Jones. Tyus Jones being probably a closer closer counterpart to a Fred VanVleet type. And you can just see how Memphis utilized them in the offense, and how Fred VanVleet could have really flourished. So missing that element is going to be huge. Having someone who can shoot out to 25 feet, like beyond the three-point line, that's going to be a huge element. One of the Raptors' go-to pet plays of a Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet pick and roll that was a top points per possession play for many a season. That's now gone. On the offensive side, on the defensive side of the ball, Fred VanVleet was one of the best off-ball defenders in the league. Having a point guard who could, you know, guard somebody in the post, take a switch and kind of bang for a couple positions, dig in and create steals, create deflections. Like, that isn't a small task. And you definitely lose a lot of just maturity on the court. And that's not something, like, as much as, like, you know, that we saw a lot of Fred VanVleet misses late in the clock. The reason Fred VanVleet had the ball so many times late in the clock is because a lot of times you're out there in lineups with a lot of young players that, you know, starts playing hot potato. People don't know what to do with the ball. And it's like, all right, get it into the surest pair of hands. I can get a shot up. And that would be Fred VanVleet a lot of times. So it is definitely losing a massive piece. The Raptors are not going to be able to easily make it up. But that being said, now you just have to kind of look at opportunity, right? Like, at the end of the day, the summer was going to be a big one for the Raptors' young players. Precious Achiuwa becomes extension eligible going to the final year of his deal. Malachi Flynn's going in the final year of his deal. I'm not saying that these guys are going to replace, be the upswing that replaced Fred VanVleet. Scotty Barnes is going to get more possessions on ball. While he may not be a traditional point guard by any means, is not someone who gets a whole lot of paint touches. We're going to have to see him play make out of him in the high post, potentially more in DHO situations a bit more, just to, you know, get the ball moving around on offense. So that's going to be a big growth area for him. And then now, hey, somebody's got to make up that usage, and who's going to take those shots. And that's where, you know, Gary Trent Jr., you're in a contract year. What can he do with the extra usage? OG Anunoby, someone who's been looking for a bigger role. Well, now in that starting lineup, if it's still Pascal and OG and Scotty in there, well, now Pascal and OG are going to be getting the majority of the shots in that lineup, as Scotty or Dennis Schroeder, if he's a starting point guard, maybe are facilitating the offense. So it's going to take steps up from all those players. Realistically, it would have been better if Fred VanVleet was back and those players also took steps up, and then you just have a higher ceiling on the team. But again, you're in the situation you're in now. There's still a pathway for this team to be good. It's just that now, instead of a Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam led team, which maybe was looking more for success next season, that was a bit more immediate. Now you're more looking at, okay, Pascal Siakam has shown that he wants to sign an extension here. You have him locked up. You can have the potential of having him locked up long-term. You have Poeltl locked up long-term. So you have your front court more or less set with veteran guys. And now you're banking on the growth of an OG Anunoby. And that's effectively the position the Raptors are in. And you know, you're hoping for the best next season. And there could definitely be, in the same way that losing Kyle Lowry and you got Scottie Barnes in, and the Raptors were able to, you know, have a miracle season, just trying to figure things out and go to 48 wins. I could see this group also doing the same, where it's just people kind of stepping up into more roles. You find the right fit. And exactly, you don't have a pick next year anyway, so you might as well go for it. And I think that's what they're doing. So there's definitely still an upswing potential. It's just maybe just changing your expectations for this team. It's less about immediate success and more success over the next 3 to 4 year period. So you're looking at the once Scottie Barnes starts hitting his early prime, when OG Anunoby's in the middle of his prime and Pascal Siakam is 2 years into his next contract, potentially. That would be, I think, the sweet spot you want to hit now. But there's a lot of questions, I think, left for the Raptors and their front office in terms of how they fill this team out.
Right. And you mentioned Dennis Schroeder. I want to talk about him. So he is the new addition that is coming into the Toronto Raptors and, you know, looks as though he will be the person. I mean, unless something still happens, there's a lot to be decided. You know, there's a long time between today and the tip off mid-October. But he may be your starting point guard. He is going to be someone who takes in, could be, I don't know. He will be someone who takes a brunt of that sort of usage that you are losing with Fred VanVleet. Now, you mentioned it. OG wants a bigger role. You're going to have the ball in Pascal's hands. Scottie Barnes taking another leap and being a ball handler and a playmaker there. Fred's usage, which was, you know, incredibly high on this team, will get split up amongst lots of different people, but you needed a point guard to come in here, and that's Dennis Schroeder. Do you want to talk a little bit about what Raptor fans can expect to get with Dennis Schroeder on this team next year?
Well, with Dennis Schroeder, like, the one thing that he was really good for when he was with the Lakers on that championship year, or when he was with the Lakers teams in the past, I don't remember if he was on a championship team or not. I think he was, but who knows? In any case, one of the things that made him really special, especially beside Alex Caruso, was that they applied a lot of ball pressure at the point of attack. He's a very good defender at the point of attack, puts a lot of pressure on opposing offensive players and opposing point guards. So that's something that you definitely get from Dennis Schroeder. Other than that, you know, he's someone who can run pick and rolls. He's someone who can kind of cut and slice to the rim. Again, with Dennis, maybe the decision-making might be a little erratic from time to time. He's definitely a player that can run hot and cold. And the shooting, it's not like you're not going to really get a shooting component from him. He's mainly just a catch and shoot spot up three-point shooter. I think for his career, the majority of his threes are assisted. The last three seasons, he's at like 35, 32, and 36% on catch and shoot threes. And again, a lot of those threes coming off of LeBron James. So those are pretty premium looks. I know one of the issues with the Lakers was they had nobody to shoot threes. And while Dennis Schroeder did help them in a bit, he's not exactly a premier three-point shooter either. That being said, if he's shooting 36% or 33 or 34% from three, even at a low volume, that slots in still on the higher half of the Raptors team from last season, which is very depressing to say as well. But yeah, he's also gets to the free throw line really well. Again, that might have a bit to do with the Laker effect, but for his career, he does get to the free throw line a fair bit. He's historically been a pretty good finisher at the rim, but did have a low season last year. So there's a reason why the Raptors are getting him at the MLE. Is the reason why he was at the veteran minimum last season, even though he was actually very good in that playoff run. But you are getting a guy who's at least, you know, a veteran. He's 29 years old, and he's, regardless of maturity issues, he has played in a lot of meaningful basketball games. He's played in a lot of playoff games in Atlanta, and then he's made deep runs with the Lakers as well. So definitely someone who can understand high pressure basketball.
Yeah, no, LeBron James wanted him back on his team. That says something. But here's the thing. When you lose Fred VanVleet, there wasn't going to be an option to really take over the role that he has. You mentioned it. He's the Raptors' best pick and roll ball handler. He also, like, you know, we saw how the offense changed when you had Jakob Poeltl and Fred VanVleet running the pick and roll game. We know his two-man game with Pascal Siakam, where he gets to be the screener there. You mentioned his defense, though it took a step back this past season. We know what he looks like when he is out there healthy, and he's also this team's best pull-up shooter. And by the numbers, over the years, last season was a bad year, the team's best catch and shoot guy. So you're losing shooting, you're losing spacing, you're losing defense, you're losing finishing, you're losing playmaking, you're losing quite a bit with Fred VanVleet. Yes, he had a bad year last year. I think everyone sort of harps in on that 1 year. There's a reason why we were all voting him for the All-Star the year before that. It's because we know that when healthy, he is good. And yes, that requires a lot of usage, but it's because this team needed it. And hopefully with the jumps from, you mentioned it, Malachi Flynn, Delano Banton, Scotty Barnes, Gary Trent Jr., from these young guys, there's just more ball to go around because everyone's sort of taken that extra step, and it makes up for Fred VanVleet. But they needed to bring in a guy, and they brought in Dennis Schroeder, and he was never going to fill in the role that, you know, Fred had. Maybe there's still some more moves to make. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. But the reason I sort of bring this up and the reason I'm going on this long spiel is because I think we have to look at the decisions the Raptors have made leading up to free agency and really take it into account. Now, I'm one who quite often says, I trust Masai Ujiri. I'm going to roll. Like, he has not steered me wrong. As someone who's been a fan of this team for forever and a half, I've watched some really bad teams. I've watched some really big swings and some really big misses that went along with it. And the idea of patience and patiently building and building something stable here and trusting that your players will want to return to it is something that's worked for Masai Ujiri, right? There was no, like, DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry were back every year. You were building that. And I think I want to...
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Say in defense of him, a lot of people are pointing to that championship roster and saying, well, look at everybody that he's lost with nothing in return. Let's not do that. Let's not, like, Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka were very old and they were not going to bring them back for anything. Like, that's part of winning a championship, is some of your guys are going to age out and you're not going to get anything for them at that point. That's fine. You trade away your 26-year-old center in Jonas Valanciunas for Marc Gasol for that reason, with that risk. And you trade away DeMar DeRozan for Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green, knowing very well that you can lose them. You don't bring back Danny Green, of course, because if you don't have Kawhi, it doesn't make any sense. And you take those risks knowing that. So for everyone on that championship roster that's gone, I would not put that as like a mark on the Raptors. I think that's disingenuous to do. And that includes Kyle Lowry, who wanted to play with Jimmy Butler in Miami and did not want to uproot his family in the middle of the season. It makes sense that you're doing right by the greatest player in your franchise's history. The one blemish there has been Fred VanVleet. And I think a lot of people are going to point to the fact that at the trade deadline, the Raptors made a move to be buyers, knowing very well that they could have lost Fred VanVleet for nothing. If I were to take, you know, if I were to defend them in this moment, I would say no one expected Fred VanVleet to get paid $43 million. We did not know that the Houston Rockets were suddenly going to hire Ime Udoka, and Ime Udoka was going to decide, no, actually, I don't want Kyrie Irving. I don't want James Harden, who's been rumored to be reuniting with the Houston Rockets since December at that point. I want Fred VanVleet. Didn't expect that. And even if we did, I don't think anyone expected $43 million over 3 years. And you can say that it's their job to expect certain things like that. And so, you know, I get people being upset at the Raptors front office for losing Fred VanVleet for nothing. I've said that this is going to be their biggest blunder if it happens, and it has happened. But I just sort of wanted to put everything into perspective because, yes, there was a big blunder, but I'm not entirely upset at rolling the dice here. I talked about the big swings and the big misses. To me, that's Hedo Turkoglu. That's Sean Marion when, like, no, you don't need this for this team. It's not so much betting on the core and betting on the belief that you can bring back your guys, not recognizing that there was a team that needed to hit a salary floor that was willing to give up $43 million per year to a point guard who maybe everybody expected to make somewhere around 30.
Thoughts? Yeah, I don't think there's anything to really say about that. Like, again, nobody was going to pay Fred VanVleet $43 million. Houston just happened to go and make that deal. That's not something I think anybody can defend. Also, like, I don't think there's anybody, like, as good as it is for Fred VanVleet to make that money, I don't know anybody who's going to be defending that contract for on the Houston side of things. Like, Houston had to be so desperate to make that deal. And even then, it looks like just from like an objective point for Houston, it's like, really, like, this is what you're doing. And the same concerns that people, and it's kind of funny because on the Houston side, you'll hear, oh, well, it's good. They have a mature player kind of set thing, teach, you know, their two young guards how to run combo guard, point guard. And on this end, on the Raptor end, you hear a lot of noise being like, oh, well, Fred VanVleet's blocking the point guard usage for certain players, which I find funny because the truth is probably somewhere closer to the middle of that. If anything, I think Fred VanVleet's a very good player to have on your team, but it is what it is at this point. I'm not going to be too hard on, like, losing out on a player because another team paid him and like inordinate amount of money. Like, this isn't even like, oh, the Raptors are nickel and diming it with Fred. And like, if they had offered a couple more million, this isn't like OKC losing James Harden to Houston back in the day because they wouldn't pay the extra $4 million. Right. This is, hey, they're paying like just a max for a guy who's not a max player by a long shot. And the reason that you don't pay those type of things is you don't want to be like you have Tobias Harris in Philly who got I don't know if it was a max deal or almost basically a near max deal at that time. And that contract has been very difficult for Philly to kind of either now trade off of or even build around, but they kept him around. And I would say Fred VanVleet's maybe a little bit better player than Tobias Harris for what he's worth, but like there's an argument you can make there. And if someone was to pay Tobias Harris $43 million a year on a max right now, I think you would be looking at the Raptors sideways. Looking back at the trade deadline again, like if you were to trade Fred at the trade deadline, that would be like, again, did the Raptors really expect to lose Fred VanVleet on a max deal? I don't think anybody would have. And if the other thing is like, well, you could have gotten something back for him. In hindsight, it's easier to make that decision if you know that he's going to go. But I think there was the fact that he even took as long as it did for a deal to happen shows you just maybe how close it actually was for Fred VanVleet to come back to Toronto on the money that they offered him and were willing to offer him, which was a very good deal. 4 years, $120 million is a pretty incredible deal for Fred VanVleet.
Yeah.
So they clearly had made the decision that they were going to pay him. They were comfortable with moving with the team forward with him on it. And hey, you get outbid like that, you get outbid like that. I'm not going to worry about the trade deadline raising expiring. And from all accounts and all reports, they were getting pretty, you know, useless and offers.
They were fine. Yeah. And not only were they getting useless offers, they were willing to pay him, I would say, more than market value, right? Yeah. Like, they were willing to do that. And I think if you were like, hey, the offers aren't great here, willing to pay him more than market value, really need him next year, it's a fine gamble to make. They kept
you off the total, which if is it's great. A player you're not looking like, about that. Like, Fred is not a player they were looking to get off of. So for them not trading him in the past is it's a moot point to me because whatever.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks. And you needed Houston to come out. And I want to like put what 43, like he's making max money right now, right? Like Giannis Antetokounmpo is making $45 million per year. Luka Doncic is making $44 million per year. We're talking about the complete upper echelon of the NBA. And so I'm happy for Fred VanVleet. Like this is major for him and major for his family. Understand why he takes it. You do it every single time because nothing is guaranteed in this league. We've seen him already have injury history, and have issues with injuries, and he is getting up there in age. So this is a deal that you take every time. I don't know if we've actually talked about this because my brain has just been so stuck on the fact that Fred VanVleet is no longer a Toronto Raptor. But Jakob Poeltl continues to be a Toronto Raptor. He is back with the team. What are your thoughts on what the Raptors are able to get him for?
That's awesome news. Like, again, losing Jakob Poeltl would have been a
absolute, 4 years, $80 million, I should
absolute,
say.
Yeah, that would have been an absolute disaster if they had traded the pick for Jakob Poeltl and lost him. Again, I don't really care about the cost of the draft pick for next season because the whole plan was the Raptors to be a competitive team and continue growing to be a better team and win whenever Scottie Barnes becomes good enough to win. But that's the thing. You want to be able to sign Jakob Poeltl back. They signed him back for $20 million a year. If it's backloaded, it starts at like $17 million next year. That's an incredible number to get a talent upgrade at that position. That was a position the Raptors did not have anybody in the development pipeline for. Was a trouble. It's trouble to fill throughout the league. Jakob Poeltl is the 10th highest paid center in the league now. You look over at Chicago, they're paying Nikola Vucevic 3 years, $60 million. And while Vucevic is more of an offensive option, he's a giant negative on defense in comparison. And I think we saw it just last season. Jakob Poeltl was incredible for the Raptors. Raptors went 15-10. Yeah, they went 15-10 with Jakob Poeltl. Even without the pick and roll partner, just defensively, we saw the Raptors were suddenly – a defensive unit again with Jakob Poeltl. And I think I'm excited to see what Darko Rajakovic can do with the defensive abilities of Jakob, as well as offensively. I think now we're going to see something that we did not see when Jakob Poeltl was a Raptor, but he did a lot as a Spurs. With the Spurs, Jakob was used as an offensive hub from the top of the key regularly. He had many like big assist games with the Spurs as well. And this is for multiple years. So he's very used to making reads from there.
Yeah.
And if the Raptors are shifting to an offense where, hey, their bigs are expected to make plays, that's something that Jakob Poeltl can do really well. He's very good at hitting cutters. And he was able to make stuff happen with San Antonio's young guards who couldn't shoot either. So getting more talented players to play with and putting the ball in his hands at the top of the key, it definitely is exciting to think about.
Yeah.
And again, shot 64% from the field as a Raptor, I think. And Raptors went 15-10. And I think you might know the plus minus numbers better. But again, the Raptors were incredible with him on, and they were very not good with him off.
-4.
So to get him back is great. And like people might have concerns about the spacing, and that's completely understandable.
Yeah.
But again, you can alleviate some of the spacing concerns when you have your bigs screening, when your bigs are good screeners. And they're playmaking from the top of the key, because if you sag off of them, they're going to set a screen for the one or two shooters you might have,
right?
And or the cutters that you have, and you don't want to have big small screens or any of those type of things, especially at the top of the key where guys are getting, someone who's coming off that screen is coming with speed and going downhill.
Right.
It's a little bit more dangerous, right? And having both him and Scottie be able to create from the top of the floor in terms of like where they're passing, playmake from the top of the floor,
right?
I think there's a lot of pathways for the Raptors to be able to be good on offense. That being said, they're still going to need more shooting. And that's one thing to do it. The Raptors last season had three shooters in Fred, Gary, and OG. And they come in this season with three shooters, and one of them is their rookie. So it's definitely something to hold. I am looking forward to seeing how the Raptors, if this is their entire offseason,
I think it can
then be. You're hoping for, you know, Otto Porter to be back healthy and playing games.
Yeah.
He's definitely someone who can help. He's a career shooter. You're hoping for growth from a Scottie Barnes and Pascal Siakam. Pascal started shooting the three a lot
that's
more
it.
Frequently.
To me, that's what it comes down to. Yeah. You need to have Pascal Siakam. For one, you need to have Otto Porter. You're already thin in terms of, you know, the bodies that you have. You just lost, you know, a starter who played what 40 minutes a night for absolutely nothing. You just need bodies and you need shooting, but it comes down to if this team is going to have, you know, good offense, it seems out of the question. They didn't even have good offense, you know, the last few years. But if they're going to have passable offense, if they're going to be decent in any way, you need Pascal and Scottie to take that leap specifically in terms of their shooting. Like, you just need shooting on this team. And, you know, whether Fred is here or not, this team doesn't amount to really much, in my opinion, if those guys cannot space the floor properly, right? Like, if they don't have some form of shot, if their range is not there on their shot.
And hey, if you want point Scottie, at the end of the day, if you want point Scottie, there is not a single successful point guard in this league that cannot shoot the ball. So if you can't shoot the ball, you have to be able to get to the rim like all the time and be high efficiency at the rim. And while Scottie Barnes has a lot to grow in both of those departments in terms of getting to the rim regularly in the half court,
I'm excited to see it.
We'll see what happens with the offseason development. That being said, I think this Raptor squad does still have a chance. They're definitely younger now as a whole in terms of where the usage is going to go. We'll see if I I think they probably spend, I would think they focus the rest of their offseason on seeing if they can maybe make a trade to kind of balance their roster a bit. One thought that I've constantly been thinking is, yeah, you call Washington, you get another one of their veteran guards in. At this point, it's a lot easier to do if you bring in a Monty Morris or DeLon Wright, who might be expiring, where you now, because Fred VanVleet's gone, you have the room to sign them to their next deal, which will be more affordable than obviously starting level point guard. But both of those players, I think, are better than Dennis Schroeder. So if you're able to get them on a 1 year expiring and get them into the system, that'd be good.
Jones is the star of this, but I don't know that, you know, I don't know that he's gettable. I think he's starting in Washington. Yeah. He's a star of that. But if you can get Monty Morris or DeLon Wright, bring him back in, you could work with something. Yeah.
And the person going out in that scenario, I think when people ask, well, who'd go out, you don't have to waive Thad Young anymore. So Thad Young is an outgoing salary you can always use. I think if you don't need to attach pick protection, if you can find someone who wants Chris Boucher on their roster, you could trade Chris Boucher to a third team. Maybe Washington wants him, who knows? And then use that second round pick to go to Washington to bring back their guard. And realistically, if you're looking at next season now, you know that you're the five guys that are left from last season, being the starters and Gary, they're going to get a ton of minutes. Dennis Schroeder is going to get a fair number of minutes if he signed to the contract he signed to at the MLE. They're going to play him. So that's six guys that are guaranteed to be in the rotation. You know Christian Coloco is going to be in the rotation, given that he played great defense last season. He's a young guy.
Fun to talk about.
He's going to get a role. Yeah, Christian Coloco is going to play. Precious Achiuwa is in the last year of his deal. He's definitely going to play. If the Raptors are focused on development, they're going to play their young guys. And you know Grady Dick is going to play. Like, you're not going to bring the rookie in and not play him, especially when he's one of your three shooters. So that's already, we've already listed nine guys that are guaranteed to be in the rotation. So if you're already nine guys deep, I guess the question really becomes is, well, if Otto Porter is going to play, you know, for you, and he's going to give you veteran minutes, that now you're at like 10 or 9.5. Mm-hmm. Where does Chris Boucher fit in outside of being like power forward insurance? And realistically, it'll come down to if Chris Boucher shooting the ball well, then he'll play. But if he's not, he's not playing. So it might be worthwhile to look at Chris Boucher, Thad Young, see if you can trade them for a guard so you can kind of balance your roster a little bit better. So I would be targeting those two guards in Washington for sure.
Yeah.
And hey, bring back DeLon. We need more people from the old Raptors.
Yesteryears.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You let Fred go, you bring DeLon back. I mean, you don't let Fred go, he walks. But congratulations to Fred VanVleet. Congratulations to Jakob Poeltl. Congratulations to Utah Watanabe. So join Kevin Durant over in Phoenix. Thank you so much, Essa, for joining me. And thank you, everyone, for listening.